This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
We got him screaming D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo. We got him screaming D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, D-Lo. We your number one spot. We your number one spot for some sports, huh? Got the city going crazy when we work, huh? We top two, but we ain't two, we in first, huh? And when you need the real, we is who you search, huh? D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo. We your number one spot.
Hey, what's up, buddy? What's up, what's good? One more time, just because. Yes, we welcome you in here to the Monday, October 15th, 14th, the October 14th edition of D-Lo and KC. I'm Damian Borland.
The ultimate needle mover in God mode himself.
I just turned and I saw Big Poppy. And I was like, Big Poppy always be putting a little slick thing. Yeah, he be doing his thing. I ain't mad at Big Poppy, man. he got the what was it, Frankie Lyman joint going on?
Oh yeah. Like, he do.
I wasn't prepared for that.
That's Kent Carraway.
Yes, sir.
Acknowledge me.
And we are live.
From the worst slums of Sacramento.
Yes, indeed. And we are so happy that you're here with us wherever you're at. The Odyssey app, if it's 1320 AM, 98.5 FM, HD2. Mm-hmm. If it's over there on YouTube or Twitch, we appreciate it. If you're listening on your smart speaker, salute. As long as you're listening to ESPN 1320, man, we appreciate you. We've got plenty to talk about here. Today, a full weekend of football. We can laugh at the Dallas Cowboys. Really sad to see what happened to Aiden Hutchinson. I watched get up. This morning I watched the whole first segment, 20 minutes. They spent it all on the Dallas Cowboys and didn't mention that the likely defensive player of the year season ended yesterday.
I mean, look, I know not everybody's like me or whatever the case may be, but I was so frustrated yesterday as I'm scrolling Twitter and everybody feels the need. Oh, look at this. Oh, this is crazy. Like, bro, stop. Like, there's no retweets need to happen. You know, well, come on, man. Come on. I didn't see it, but yeah.
Yeah, I didn't either. It wasn't I was watching the game. I didn't see it. Shout out to Fox who didn't show any replays of it, but I didn't see it at all.
One.
Oh, I did not see
that's
it.
That's the one that kept circulating. Once again,
I did not see it.
I didn't see it, but
I did again, I was watching that game. I did not see that happen. I didn't know it was that until I think it was I don't remember if it was Rappaport or Schefter, but one of them tweeted, you know, they retweeted a reporter who was there. And he was like, it happened pretty quick, but there was a break, like something broke. And I was like, okay. And it was words. There were no accompanying pictures or videos. Right. So, thankfully I did not see that, but,
you always worry about, you know, stuff like that, about how a guy is going to be able to bounce back. And I was thinking about that last night. Aiden Hutchinson is such a phenomenal player, mm-hmm. you know, such a bright future. Go Blue as well.
Fair enough.
But, you know, I was worried. I was like, man, he's going to be able to bounce back. The one that I think of is Bryant Young. And Bryant Young, you know, that happened to him on Monday Night Football. And, you know, he continued to have his Hall of Fame career after that. So,
well, I think sometimes these injuries are – far more gruesome than, God, this is going to sound weird, like they're more visually impactful than they are like actual.
And debilitating to the rest
of
the
like
career.
Caris LeVert played the same year.
Oh.
Yeah, and his was bad.
Well, his was a dislocation, though, too.
Oh, it wasn't a break? Mm-mm. Oh, his was nasty, though. Yeah. His was nasty. I've seen that one.
I mean, but, you know, and it's a different sport, nasty. But, I mean, Gordon Hayward never was the same after his. So I guess it kind of, but to your point, though, it can't, when you talk about career, not necessarily that particular year, but career, it seems like sometimes it is different than an Achilles tear.
Right.
Or an ACL tear or something like that, because that's something that, you know, it feels like these guys lose something that they never regain. Like sometimes with these broken bones, they put the rod in there or whatever, and you know they can get back to where they were. But I just hope that's the case.
I mean,
for Aiden Hutchinson,
if Alex Smith can come back, anybody can. Alex Smith had probably the scariest one in history.
And, Lord have mercy.
If that man can come back, anybody can. We'll talk. Sorry.
No, I was just going to say, you know, that's enough.
Yeah.
That's enough. No, we wish the best for Aiden Hutchinson, man. And, man, just wish him the best. But I did want to say this real quick, because we got a lot. We talked to Kings and everything else like that. Niners didn't play yesterday. You know, we just had a NFL Sunday, you know, got to watch the league or whatever. Yawn. Boring. NFL was boring. Without the Niners, without varsity, it's just yawn.
Oh, all right, dude. Settle down.
NFL, worst product in sports without the Niners.
It was certainly an interesting weekend. Like, there wasn't a lot of compelling football. The game that we expected to be compelling was, in fact, that. Mm-hmm. Forgive me for not being locked into the struggle between the Colts and the Titans.
Red Zone was trash.
It was not a
good
game. It was trash.
And they kept staying. I got frustrated because they kept staying on that Bucks Saints game forever.
Well,
they were probably thinking,
well, at least we'll get points here. At least we'll get some points here. That was a bizarre game. We'll get to all of that. All of this is to distract you from the fact that the only thing uglier than the Red Zone Channel yesterday was the play of the Sacramento Kings in their final preseason game at home. That was bad. That was not enjoyable by any sense of the word. Now, there's a fine line that we walk here about reacting to what we saw, which is very literally our job, and overreacting to what we saw. Now, you have a three-game sample size here of this team where all three games look a little bit different. You want to evaluate only the starters. That's perfectly fine. Starters played quite a bit yesterday, and they looked bad. They were outscored 65-42 in the second and third quarter. They got roughed up by what we believe is a bad Portland team at home. And, again, we can react to it without overreacting to it. And just because throughout the course of the next 4 hours, we're going to pose questions about what we saw yesterday, maybe even about what we saw on Friday, maybe even about what we've seen over the course of these three preseason games, doesn't mean that we're overreacting to it.
Right.
But yeah, that was ugly, dude. That was trash.
Yeah.
It was just straight up trash.
There's no other way to put that. You know, and it just kind of went to hell pretty quick.
It did.
Like, it wasn't, the whole game wasn't like that, but all of a sudden you look up and they're down 10 and they turning the ball over left and right, can't stop them. It was, that was not enjoyable last night. Not enjoyable, or yesterday afternoon. I thought I was going to get a reprieve with the Kings and Trailblazers compared to that sorry Sunday night football game. This was worse.
That was way worse. Not that I watched that Sunday night football game.
I didn't see a snap.
That was bad, man. And I don't know what to do with it. I think we asked after the first game against the Warriors at the Golden One Center, like, hey, 3-point defense. You know, we had obviously the reaction to the offense, like, man, this is top five offense in the league. But the sample size of the, you know, the three dropping or not dropping at a pretty significant rate is we're up to three games now.
Yeah.
They shot a lot more in San Francisco, but they didn't hit a good percentage of those. Mm-hmm. And it's the questions that I think we asked after the Warriors game on Wednesday. Two games later, I think those are still really valid questions.
They
are. The three-point shooting and the three-point defense probably being the two biggest ones.
No, they are. We talked about it last night on Sports Sunday, and I used the line where, you know, I do think the shooting will get better. We also got to remember they're without two of their best shooters, three-point shooters, and Trey Lyles and Kevin Huerter, so that'll help a little bit. I just think, in general, they'll shoot the ball a little better from beyond the arc. So I'm not too worried about that. The three-point defense, I'm not worried about it now, but if we're still having this same discussion 10, 12, 15 games into the season, it will be a real thing, because it won't be just 10, 12 games sample size. It's, all right, you've got a season and now 10, 12 games. It's starting to turn into it would be a pattern at that point. There'd be something that I would be afraid they wouldn't be able to fix at all, because if you haven't been able to figure it out in a year and some change, like, it just ain't gonna happen. So I've got my eye on that. I definitely got my eye on the three-point defense.
Yeah, I want to talk more about that particular line you just said about it not being a concern right now, because we'll talk about it. Mm-hmm. There's as bad as that game was, I think there's maybe less to talk about from that game versus Portland yesterday and more to talk about in this collection of three games. Of course, they're going to play again tomorrow, and then they're going to play again Thursday. There's still a couple of games ahead for the Sacramento Kings. Glad to be feeling better, though. Thanks to my people over at...
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC's senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
MapTrician.com. That little trip to Disneyland took your boy out for a day or two. And it took a while to rehydrate, get myself back up and going. But I was able to do that with trainwithmap.fit/ESPN1320, a website that they built just for us. You can head over there. You can take advantage of the free nutritionist consultation that they have. You can take advantage of the free macro calculator that they have right there on the website. That'll help you determine what types of foods you need to eat throughout the day. And of course, you want to click that link to MapTrition to get your strength enhancers and fat burners, cravings crushers. Get that greens powder that you can mix into your drink. Real, real easy to drink. Not nasty, not chalky. Doesn't have that spirulina taste that some of these green drinks have. Head over to trainwithmap.fit/ESPN1320, a website that they built just for us to help get you jump started on your fitness and health needs. We'll come back. We're just getting started. We've got to talk more about the Sacramento Kings. As D'Lo and KC continue here on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320. Oh, Aldrin J, sir. Aldrin J says, tough loss for your Ohio State Buckeyes on Saturday. What? Sir, you have grossly misread this situation. It is very funny when Ryan Day loses football games. It's really funny when you pay what Ohio State paid to not lose football games, and they lose football games. The game's changed, Aldrin. I do not care whether that team wins or lose. And the fact is, it's way funnier when they lose. They got a New York Yankee-sized payroll and lost to the Oregon Ducks. You got Ryan Day over there with that stupid look on his face.
Man, I'm lying.
Getting his ass whooped by the Oregon Ducks.
That happened. That was a beatdown.
That's funny.
That was an ass whooping. Now,
well, they lost by one.
Well, no, that was an ass whooping. They beat the. Still, that was a beatdown. Oregon just smacked them boys around like they weren't even there.
Final score 32-31.
Just smacked them. Just damn. Oh.
As Ramsey points out, it wasn't just Ryan Day. It was Chip Kelly's stupid ass standing there. They hired NFL coaches and coordinators. Oh, they are so in their feelings because of what the cheater Harbaugh did last year.
Whoa, chill.
Well, yeah, it was almost thoughts and prayers. So
glad I heard about that. I didn't see like exactly what did he have like a.
No, I had that game was on, I think, Red Zone as those tweets were coming. I don't think I saw it happen. Mm. He just went to so Harbaugh went to the tent and then he went to the locker room and then he came back. Oh. I don't remember the exact term. It was something with his heart that they were checking.
Oh man, get well soon to Harbaugh. Did he pull like Urban Meyer?
No, he's not Urban Meyer. He did not, because that's exactly what I was looking for.
I should laugh because he might have really had some issues.
Well, Harbaugh's way too tough to do what Urban Meyer did. Harbaugh's it's not, but Harbaugh would die standing up. Well,
let's keep it real, bro. Like, we're talking about it. Like, Urban would do it like it was on cue. Like, all right, we're down by 20. All right.
Urban Meyer would walk to the 50-yard line and the logo in the middle of the field and fall to the ground.
Yeah, he Adam Morrisoned every time.
Oh, every time. Thank you. Thank you for
recognizing. Oh, man, it's not funny, man. I shouldn't be laughing.
Well, it's okay. He appears to be fine.
Yeah.
He appears to be perfectly fine.
But, yeah, you know. So maybe we'll get to it later. But real quick, the thing that I have learned.
All better than talking about what happened at the arena last night. So go ahead.
We got to get into that. But one thing that I have learned or recognized about college football, and we always thought it would be, like, completely different. Like, it's not going to be as dramatic. The only thing that happens is the drama just gets kicked down the road a little bit, right? Like, so it's not that it's never going to be dramatic anymore in the regular season. It just takes a little bit more to get there. For instance, if Ohio State went into the Michigan game undefeated and lost, they're still in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. But if they lose along the way, mm-hmm. now the Michigan game is just as significant as it always was. And that's what we saw. We saw that in like Ole Miss LSU, like two teams that couldn't get that second loss. So now it used to be just if you get one loss, you were in trouble. Now you got a little bit of a grace period. If you get that one loss, you still got a chance. But you don't want to get that second loss.
It's not just the one loss, though. Like, Michigan stinks.
Mm-hmm.
You know that.
Well, they don't stink. They're not what they were.
No, they stink. They're not good. They're not a good football team.
They got a really good defense. They got a top-flight defense. They just don't have a quarterback.
That's not top-flight. They don't have a top-flight defense. They
have a... They got a playoff defense. I'll say that. Like, you can get to,
okay.
If you had a better offense, you can get to the defense with that.
All right. I'll give you that. So losing to them would look bad. Mm-hmm. They lost to Oregon. They fell two slots. Mm-hmm. Like, the losses look like different. You're not falling two slots if you lose to Michigan at the end of the year.
No.
Now, how far are you falling? That's going to be the question headed into the first, I guess, playoff team selection day. But yeah, they, you know, going from 2-4 with the team now, who I think is 2 or 3, Oregon,
they should be 2.
2 or 3.
Yeah, it should be 2. They were 3 coming in.
So, okay.
But I get what you're saying about Michigan, but now you can't. Ohio State might be able to because they're Ohio State. Because, like I said, the two losses for them is like what one loss used to be, right? So they could get in with one loss back in the day, even if they lost a certain game. Even if they lost Michigan, they were still getting in. They were in conversations to get in that 4 with one loss.
Well, it was going to be tough because of the Big Ten Championship.
Right, but remember, that almost would help them out that they didn't play in the – was it last –
It only happened once, I think, that I remember that it helped them.
Wasn't it last year? They didn't get it, but they were on the cusp getting in last year after losing.
Yeah, it was close because 3 things needed to happen. Mm-hmm. Or like I'm making up a number. Multiple things needed to happen. They all happened, and then it was like, oh, is Ohio State getting in?
I think the one thing that didn't was Washington won. I think that's what kept Ohio State out last year.
Okay.
They won the Pac-12 championship. Like,
okay.
I think they would have given Ohio State over Oregon given that situation. And the whole thing. They lost against Michigan. Mm-hmm. They didn't play in the Big Ten championship game, and they would have got in. The whole point is that was one loss. The new one loss for them may be two losses. Mm-hmm. So I say even if you say you beat Michigan and you lose in a Big Ten championship game, you might still get in, but you don't know. Mm-hmm. You don't know. So that, and I think I don't know. I think they play Penn State this year. Yeah, they play Penn State in like 2 weeks.
Yeah, I think they play Penn State every year. No.
Yeah,
that's normally where, like, is it, you know, home or away is usually the big.
That's, you got to win that game.
Though. Absolutely. Yeah,
you got to win that game. So
you pay $20 million to win that game. You better win it. Yeah, you absolutely better win it.
So that's just kind of what I recognized about college football is it just, there's still drama there. It just takes a loss before.
Drama might be a little more sustained, too, because it'll go, oh, man, how big was that Oregon loss? Mm. Or insert team's big loss. How big was that as we enter the final week of the season, headed into champ week and all of that stuff?
Yeah.
I don't know how big this Portland Trailblazers loss is going to be. We talked about the elements of this preseason so far and how some of it feels like carryover from last year, particularly the lack of three-point defense, the perimeter defense, again, being a concern. Does the element of, again, this is reacting versus overreacting, does the element of losing to what we believe is a bad Portland team make you feel like this is just like last year? This is just another – this perimeter defense was a problem last year. Mm-hmm. Losing to bad basketball teams was a problem last year. Yeah. It feels like that's still the case.
I understand. I'm a little bit more I don't know if patient is the right word, but I just want to see it play out a little bit, give them a little benefit of the doubt to see if that continues into the regular season, into a regular game. But I understand the angst. I understand the concern of anybody who's like, it looks the same or they got the same problems that they had last season because it's right there in front of you. In three preseason games, they're not defending the three particularly well. And that's the same issue we saw all last season. Like I said earlier, I'll give them a little bit of the benefit of the doubt to play some regular season games and get in a certain regular season mindset and mind frame to figure out if this is going to continue. But not good so far. Not good so far.
Kings shot 17%. 17.9% from three last night.
Well, that's not going to get it done. Okay. That's just awful.
That's a hell of a take on your part right there, but I think you might be right. Blazers shot 35.9%. So it's not like they, you know, it's not what the Golden State Warriors did at the Golden One Center last week, but it's still a significantly larger percentage, and that 35.9 wouldn't look as bad if the Sacramento Kings had shot 35.9, but they didn't. They shot 17%. And so, you pile all of these things. And I don't know what the redeeming quality is to last night's game. Now, we can talk about some of these young guys and some of the guys that maybe we've liked over the course of the first three games in their totality. But yesterday afternoon at the Golden One Center, I don't know. Well, at least we got I don't know what to do with any of this.
It was in a lot of ways, it was a throwaway game because there's nothing.
Jordan McLaughlin debuted. There you go. That's the positive.
And he performed. He performed.
He did. Well. He did play well. Yeah.
So, you know,
we did it. We found something.
That would be something. But it feels like there's nothing positive to take out of that game. Now, it doesn't mean everything has to be negative moving forward, like you positioned earlier. We're having a discussion about it. We're not necessarily overreacting to anything. So it doesn't mean like, oh, this is who they are and this, nothing like that. But you look at that game and it's like, man, there was nothing there to take away except for Jordan McLaughlin. And you see him as a backup point guard and he's a guy that's able to shoot a little bit. But the turnovers, you know, that's something that we haven't discussed. Is that something that's rearing its ugly head again? The fact that they weren't able to take care of the basketball the way you would want them to. 26 turnovers yesterday. 26 turnovers.
Oh, man.
That is, you want to talk about unacceptable. Like, We can't have those type of days in the regular season.
Mm.
I don't care how good you think the offense is. I mean, hell, that's 26 possessions where you just got nothing. You didn't even get a shot up.
Yeah.
So that's something that
twice as many turnovers as they had against the Warriors the two nights before. Yeah, that's Friday night.
We can't have that. We can't have that. Captain Obvious.
De'Aaron had four of them. Domas had five of them. Those are the dogs who are going to have the ball in their hand the most. Malik had four. Mm-hmm. Like, those are your primary guys with the ball in their hand.
Mm-hmm.
I did wonder when the schedule came out, and rather than speaking into existence, I wanted to wait till we actually saw it, and I feel like we are seeing it. I did think the every other day schedule was kind of strange for a preseason. It continues. They'll play tomorrow, and they'll play Thursday. That's just the way the schedule this week was set up. They're going to play every other day. I wonder if, you know, after the games against the Warriors, which have, you know, always, no matter what, have like a little bit of up to them, if there was a bit of a letdown for a Sunday afternoon game at home, your third in 6 days or whatever it is, and probably not even that, third in 5 days, but, you know, you're just out there going through the motions, because there was plenty of moments really from the second quarter on that it looked like they were just going through the motions.
Yeah, and I wonder too, you try to be professional, you try to approach these preseason, hey, we got things to work on, you know, we're coming out here to work, but in the back of your mind, you know, it's a preseason game that doesn't mean anything. And like I said, I would try to approach it a certain way, but you're a human being. You know, you've got regular tendencies of that of a human being. And you know, no matter what happens, it doesn't matter. You know what I mean? Like, even if they played great, like even if they, you know, had the same offensive output that they had in the first game and, you know, won by 25 points, what does it really mean? You know what I mean? So that's something that you always guard against when you talk about these preseason games, and you try to think about, like, okay, what's the demeanor of the players going in? What's the mindset of these guys going in? Third preseason game, they might already be in a position mentally where they're like, let's just get the season started. Like, I'm tired of playing these games that don't matter. Maybe. They also just didn't play well. Like, there's still a certain level of, hey, take care of the basketball, play defense, practice good habits that you want to have regardless if it's the preseason or not, that they didn't execute yesterday. And I think they're probably talking about that today at practice. They're probably going through that, watching the video of like, hey, I know it doesn't mean anything, but we're trying to establish good habits and a certain level of have a certain level of expectations for the way that we come out and play the game every night. And yesterday was a part of that, and we didn't live up to those expectations.
Is there anything positive you could take from the last two, really two games? If you want to just do the preseason in general, we can do that.
Friday I did. I had positive thoughts about it. I had tweeted it out, but I was just watching. And I didn't think the Kings played well, you know, for about three quarters.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't think. That
non-starting group didn't.
Oh, well, that's a whole nother discussion that we'll get into. But the starters and the guys who played a majority of minutes, they played into the third quarter. And I sat there and I looked and I said, you know, this team is playing like a C-plus game at best right now. At best. Like, I didn't think they were playing that well. And they were up 10. And I was like, this is life here, right? Like, where you got a team that if they're not playing well, they're still competitive in games. Think about the Latin, just the whole time with the Kings, but just in general, even in recent history, when they've been a better team, when they haven't played well, we're looking at a 15-point deficit.
Hmm.
We're looking at a team that, you know, is struggling to stay in the game. And here we are, even though it is the preseason, you see remnants of a team that, even if they're not playing well, it's good enough to either A, be competitive, or still lead. And that's what I thought I was seeing on Friday. Obviously, Sunday, they didn't play well. They got blown out. So that didn't happen. But on Friday, that's one of the things I did take away. Is I was like, man, they're not even playing that well. But here they are, finding a way to be up 10. I looked at that aspect as a positive.
I thought Keegan Murray was a huge positive on Friday. I thought he was super aggressive. The 11 shots is cool. He got to the foul line eight. Like he took eight free throws in that game. That's, to me, for Keegan, that's a big time stat right there. You're six and above. You probably had a really good night from Keegan Murray.
Yes.
That could, you know, we talk about shot attempts and how all of this is going to, you know, manage out, balance out with the addition of DeMar DeRozan, a lifetime 20-point scorer and all of that. That free throw attempt number for Keegan could be where, you know, everyone talks about this growth or this, you know, well, maybe he's not going to score more because the shot attempts won't be there this year with this new lineup. Maybe that's where the growth in what Keegan Murray is doing or what his growth in the stat line comes from. Maybe it comes from the free throw line. And if he's aggressive as he was on Friday night against Golden State, man, that's a good look, I think, all around for Sacramento and the coaching staff.
I agree. I think it was Friday. I'm pretty sure. I know it wasn't yesterday, but I thought I saw him. Wasn't there one or maybe even two times where he had somebody like on the block or mid post or something like that and hit a little fall away, or he at least shot it. Friday. I don't know if he – I feel like he made it, but I can't. But it doesn't matter. That aspect of his game is something that we were kind of told to look out for and something that he said he wanted to get back to. And I think he did in the first game. We saw it on Friday. And, yeah, that's another element of being able to add something to your game that we're looking for Keegan to add to his repertoire. And it's just another spot on the floor where he can get shots. You know, we're worrying about where he can get looks and things like that. If he can get to the block every now and then, or, you know, maybe get a mismatch and fade away on a little guard or something like that, that's just another spot where he can get a shot off that you don't necessarily have to worry about. Another opportunity for him to possibly get to the line, because if it's a mismatch, somebody hacks down on the arm, now we're getting to the line. So just another way for him to be a part of this offense and get his shot attempts and get his looks on a nightly basis.
Yeah, the more ways that these players, this team can find to score, the better off this offense will be. This really will be a top five offense, as you proclaimed following that first game.
And make no bones about it, I feel no differently about, you know,
Well, nor should you, because they were really good on Friday. Right now, the outliers yesterday. So I don't, no one should change their feelings on how they felt about this team. Now, do they score a lot and lose? Now, that's where I wonder, like, is this a possibility? Do they have a top five offense that hovers around 500 again for a while, maybe before going on a run and getting, you know, getting five games above 500, six games above 500, seven, you know, whatever they wind up doing, hopefully doing this year, and then some. But I think there's lots of positive takeaways from that Friday game. It's just yesterday was maddening. Absolutely maddening. And we're going to get into the non-starter group this hour. And it's tough. I have questions. I have a lot of them. And I feel like some of these guys are I feel like some of these guys are repetitive. We'll talk about it.
Okay.
We'll talk about it. Keon Ellis played really well on Friday as well.
He did.
In San Francisco.
Yeah. Oh, man. Oh. Oh, man. Did you listen to the game on Friday? The reason why I bring that up is because they had talked about Keon. I was, oh, my God.
I tried, and I just couldn't. Like, come on, man. That stuff is terrible. They are awful. Just got, the game got so frustrating on television. It's just like, I'm just going to watch this on Synergy later. Like, I don't want to.
No, it was bad, man.
It was so awful. Like, I don't know Drew Down, Uncle Lone, I don't know if you just get used to it. I don't know if you guys just don't hear it anymore. But man, when you only have to hear that group a couple of times a year, it is so, so, so bad.
Nah, man. And I started off like when it hit me like a ton of bricks, like, oh no, this is what's going to be on the NBA TV feed. Made a little snide joke or whatever on Twitter. And then I got to listen. I was like, nah, it's... No, this is not good. And the reason why I thought about it, you said Keon Ellis had a good game or whatever, and it was, Keon, look at the confidence in this guy. Just a defender, but he's shooting like he's one of the guys. All right. All right. Sorry, man. Just tell me if they made the shot or not. I don't need the extras at this point. Terrible. Just
could
terrible.
You imagine if Fitz and Bob Myers did a game together? Can you imagine what that would
sound
like?
I will say, I told Kyle this because we were texting. There's been a little bit of a 180 on Bob, especially
on TV.
Told
me that. No, you told me.
He's funny. He's funny. Unintentionally, he's funny. He's a, but
he's not funny like, haha, this guy is funny. He's funny like Jesus Christ.
Bro, he's a goofball. He's goofy.
Now there's nothing.
I don't have a crystal ball here, Malika. Kings are good though. Kings are good. This is the best Kings team in 10-15 years. Yeah, no. You think, Bob? You think? Wow. That's insightful,
that's
Bob.
Exactly the wording too. He'll be like, I don't know. Kings are good though. Kings are good. That's exactly what it is.
Nothing will beat the draft day. No, absolutely.
No, that
nothing.
Was an all-timer.
That was the greatest.
That was an all-timer.
That was one of the greatest moments in television history.
I feel like that's Bob's thing now, too. Like, oh, yeah, Stephen A. looks like he wants to kick my ass. Like, he does it every time now.
So, no, Bob, I could actually deal with Bob. There are no redeemable qualities to Fitz. Like, there's nothing funny about him. There's nothing entertaining about him. I'm sorry. I hate to do I'm safe to say it like that, but it just is what it is. Right. Not my cup of tea. There may be other people enjoy him. I don't know, but not my cup of tea. But he really got me when he did the whole thing when the Kings started winning, and he's like, Kings are playing hard. They're playing hard out there. The Warriors are just kind of messing with rotations, and the Kings are really treating this like a real stop, jackass. They're not. They had damn Isaac Jones out there and Mason Jones out there. Nobody out of here acting like it was game five of the first round. Settle down, son. Settle down. But Kings are playing hard. Shut the hell up.
Why does he sound like Marv Albert? Did he go to the Marv Albert School of Broadcasting?
No, because Marv is a little. No, I don't think he sounds like Marv. Let me give you guys.
Okay. To be clear, I don't mean he sounds like Marv.
No, I mean yeah, no. But okay. I'm gonna give you guys. Kings are playing hard. They're playing hard out there, and the Warriors just giving the ball away.
Yeah.
The Kings are playing hard out there. The Warriors are giving the ball away.
Okay, I got it. It's a little different. All right.
Marv Albert sounds like he needs like a drink of water.
He sounds constipated. Let's say what it is. Like Marv, I know you didn't want to say it. Marv sounds like he has to go to the bathroom. Marv sounds like, yeah, all right, we're not.
You go to the bathroom, Marv, you good?
Marv, get a laxative or have some coffee, bro. Oh, like, man. Jesus Christ, man, we'll come back. We mentioned the non-starter group. We'll talk about that one. It's dealing with KC. James Hamm, final hour of the show. Is that Coach JT?
Oh, yeah,
there?
We got a run in.
I
we
see
got a
Coach
run
JT
in.
Making a run in here. He'll come in here. He'll talk Kings basketball with us. It's dealing with KC. Continue here on Sacramento Sports Leader, ESPN 1320. We got a run in, man. It's a triple threat match now.
Hey, tag me in, Coach.
Y'all need to leave Kenny's shirt away.
Why the hell on your boy's shirt, man? I'm looking smooth today. I like this shirt, man. Shout out.
It's a great shirt.
Look, shout out H&M.
Call it an extra medium. I don't know what they did that for.
Shout out H&M, because me, being the common man that I am, you can get this shirt anywhere. And that's what I try to promote. You know what I'm saying?
H and Slim.
Yeah, well, you know, like I said, I've been hitting the iron. I've been hitting the iron. What you want me to do? Not hit the iron? Is that what y'all want me to do?
No, he's gone over to train with map.fit/ESPN1320. And it's paying off for our boy. He got that protein powder, them all-day BCAAs.
That's it, man. Come on,
now he's got buttons popping off like he's Lou Ferrigno.
it is what it is. I gotta shot.
Lou Finigro over here flexing on everybody.
Let me call nephew Reese, make sure he didn't go take that shot at his closet. Let me call nephew. I gotta go shopping now, man. Let me call nephew.
More excuse to get more clothes. I gotta go shopping now.
Reese at the house looking for his favorite black shirt. Can't find it nowhere.
And they be hating. They know I button it all the way to the top.
Always to the top.
I either button it to the top or there's like four buttons over.
What's that called again? Because that's no collar. What's that called again?
I don't even know.
It's got a name. I don't remember what it's called. Deuce's mastered that look over the last season. Yeah, that
shout
that,
out Deuce.
That tieless look with the straight collar there right there. Our man Coach JT in here with
What's
us,
good,
man.
Fellas?
Just making a nice little run in on this beautiful Monday, Coach. Glad that you're here with us. Wish it was under better circumstances, man. You watch a lot of ball, but man, our boys at the Golden 1 Center last night. That was a tough look for the Sacramento Kings.
Man, I'm listening all the way up. You know me, Casey knows me well. I'm just identity though. This is, and again, coaching about 3 years, right, to lay that culture foundation, which I get. However, in 3 games, where was the identity for me? I have no idea what type of team we're going to be, especially on the defensive end. Mm-hmm. Offensively, a little bit first game, but I think that was the first preseason like kind of excitement. We scored a little bit. Them last two was rough. Just the identity. What are we going to do? Who's going to get stops on that wing for me, man? It just stands out to me. I don't see a lot of deterrent from that 3-point line. As far as deterring people from shooting shots, getting open threes, giving looks, man. Team C Kings, their eyes light up from 3-point line.
So let me ask you this. Does that need to be established today? This is where they've been together now, 2.5 weeks? Like, does that need to be established today?
And I heard you say that, right? But it's just not today, because the core of that group, besides DeRozan, have been together over a year and a half. Mm-hmm. It's the same, like you said, it goes back. It's not just a couple of weeks of this. This is a year and something else, right? We saw this lack of identity on the other side of the ball last season. Mm-hmm. We saw that. Yes, we can score, but we're giving up just as many points from the outside and stuff like that. So I think it needs to happen now. That's why you have a training camp. That's why you have these practice sessions to really just lay the foundation. And you got to see it, though, at some point. Now, if I saw it early in the game, they subbed out and it changed to lack of players on the court, different story. Mm-hmm. But I see it from the guys starting the game. To the subbing, like, just not, I don't know. I would love to talk to Coach Mike Brown a little bit. Mm-hmm. Like, what are you looking at as far as just the longevity of how hard defensively they have to play per game? Mm-hmm. Like, how long is it a factor? Where's it on your, you know, where's it on your list? You know, every coach has, like, what's priorities? Where's it on your list, Coach Brown?
Yeah, I
is it coach, is it, I is it Mike that you got to ask, or is it the players you got to ask?
Well, it starts at the top.
Okay.
Now, who's playing those positions, when you ask for, that's different too. Because do you got to put more defensive lineup in the game? Do you need more? You know, that comes down to coaches.
That
you know.
Exists. Does
yeah.
it?
Not with this team. I mean,
we'll see this team wise,
without
right?
sacrificing something.
But look at the other teams. Like I said, I'm looking at, man, even DiVincenzo on with Minnesota, right? Mm-hmm. Like, oh, again, that dude built different. You see him talking to Jalen Brunson's dad a little bit over the weekend?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But him with Ant on the perimeter, look at that. That's different. Like, go to different teams that have better wing defenders. They're built for that as well. They're just, and they're good two-way players, though. We're really small at that two spot.
Yeah, we are, but I also don't think you're gonna get that. Like, this is your roster, and they've gotta figure it out. And that's why right. I say it comes down to those players at the end of the day. You know, like I don't care what the defensive assignment is or strategy mm-hmm. is. Ain't no coach, Mike Brown, Luke Louts, Jay Trenum, Doug Christie, nobody saying, hey, it's okay to give up the open three. It's okay not to close out. Like, nobody, they ain't saying that. You know, they're telling them, hey, you guys got to be better defending on the perimeter. They've got to execute. I think they will. I look at what's going on so far, and I'm still giving them a little bit of time to figure out their identity on that side of the mm-hmm. basketball. But I understand the angst. I do understand the angst.
But isn't now the time to establish your identity, or at least attempt to establish your identity?
That's been my main thing, because like I said, I could see, again, if it was first year, this is not it. They've been together. It has been noted. There's film on it, on the deficiencies. So I'm hoping it's been addressed as far as, you know, they went through it, but now it's the implementation or the consistency of it. We need to see more consistent defensive effort from everybody consistently, game in, game out from them. And this kind of, right, I know it's still a priest, like you said, I heard you on the way up. Is they kind of like, is it over yet? Are we done? We don't want to play. But I just want to be able to see them. Okay, look, I see that. It's going to be there. It's not smooth. Make a couple of adjustments. But I just don't see it there really. Like, I don't know. I mean, that's what I'm looking off the ball defense. I'm looking where the ball's not. Because I always taught that. Look off the ball. Don't look who has the ball. On ball, yes, they're going to be fine, right? Mm. But off the ball. Are you fighting through screens? Are you getting through those things? Are you talking? Are you switching? I don't know. And I think that's important, though, man. Like I said, we'll be able to score. Yes, the ball's going to move. Opportunity going to be there. But you have to be able to get stops because other teams got better. I believe a couple other teams got better, man. We're just not going to, you know.
Kings got better, too, though. Kings got better. And I'm when you talk about the identity.
Better in general?
Yeah.
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 Yes.
When you talk about identity, be who you are. Yes, you need to be right. better on the defensive end. But you're not the early 90s Pistons. You're not going to be as much as you want to be. You are closer to 7 seconds or less scoring. Okay. Be who you are. Like when you talk about that, and I think that's what happened last year. I think Mike Brown and that staff got too locked in on that we gotta defend and defend at a championship level. They lost who they were. Mm-hmm. I think that played into why they were so up and down. They couldn't find who they are because they were trying to be something that they weren't. You're not this crazy defense. You're a capable team mm-hmm. on the defensive end. We saw that 2 years ago with how they defended in the fourth quarters, how they defended in the first round against the Golden State Warriors. You're capable of it.
Well, the Jalen McDaniels experiment is over.
Man, I heard his name a few times. Like, he didn't show me anything. They let him go?
Well, don't worry about it. He's been traded to San Antonio.
What?
Bye-bye.
What? For a 32 pick swap? Is that what it is?
Well, no, not well. That'd be fantastic. Wait, what?
Uh-oh.
Wait, what did this say?
Another trade?
The Sacramento Kings are trading Jalen McDaniels and a second round pick to the San Antonio Spurs. Did they want to get rid of him that bad?
Wait a minute. No, we got to go.
I thought it said they traded Jalen McDaniels for a second round pick.
What the hell are we getting back?
Well, let's just all sit here quietly until we find out.
Victor Wembanyama, you are a Sacramento King. Let's go. Nice job, Monty.
There it is.
It was a moment of silence.
Maybe we got the pick swap back.
It was a moment of silence.
Oh, so we win.
I don't know.
So we win.
I'm going to need Shams to work here.
Yeah. What did he say? We got HB back.
Yeah, Shams got to get back to work. He got his little, you know, his little cute graphic now with all the ESPN. Like, give me the whole damn trade. Yeah,
like, who tweets part of the trade?
Woj would never.
He got really quiet.
Where's the? That's right. But I got. I'm scared to turn them Woj alerts off. But if I get one more goddamn tweet about Bonaventure or whatever,
I'll say like, Bonaventure. Yeah.
I do not. No, man. I
Bonnie's.
Yeah, so I mean,
Shams do better.
So we talked about Jalen, and I was intrigued by him. I still am. I'm not really tripping off those two games, but obviously the Kings were not intrigued by him. That was one of the guys that we were looking for to possibly be that 3-and-D guy off the bench at the very least, and now he's out the door. So
let me ask this question: Have we seen a little bit to see how much Kevin Huerter is worth for us these three games? The lack of him not being there.
That's a good question. Mm-hmm. That's a really good question.
Because I'm looking at just spacing wise, and even to have a guy like that on the court, you have to respect it.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little bit more spacing that's available with him on the floor than with him off the floor.
Yeah,
and I'm like, oh, like there's no they can help the paint a little more, help on Sabonis.
Mm-hmm.
They can help on DeRozan and the elbows more, a little more clogged up. I'm like, okay, you need a shooter out there.
Yeah.
More from Sham. Spurs plan to waive McDaniels. Boy, that's a stunner. While Kings open roster flexibility for a potential addition down the line.
Down the line.
Okay. They gave the Spurs a second-round pick to take Jalen Brunson from them, or Jalen McDaniels from
them. So, yeah, and that's – okay, I'm not going to go crazy on it, but, like, I mean, all right, we just giving away – all right, man, come on. Like, can we get a second-round pick back? We just –
take them.
All right.
Monday fun day.
Okay. I'm not, like I said, I'm not going to go, who's our guy that always, I'm not going to go Hollinger on this situation and be like, how could you? But, all right, that's a little deflating. Like, we couldn't get nothing back? No. All right.
Needed
money.
You couldn't have gotten a 2031 second round pick back?
Something.
Pick swap at that.
Something.
not even take the whole pick. Just give us the pick swap.
Boy, but Bontemps is going to have a field day with this. Jalen wasn't very good, man.
He was out of place.
Yeah, he was a struggle.
He was a struggle.
And it goes to your point, though. You off the bench, he wasn't providing, at least in two games, and maybe they saw a whole lot in the practices and training camp, he wasn't providing much of any offense.
Yeah.
That's a guy that you literally just leave open. Like, that's you just leave open and say, we'll live with anything that he puts up. And I don't think you can have that type of guy in the NBA nowadays. We talked about that a lot with last year when people were talking about Jared Vanderbilt. It's like that the Warriors in the playoff series said, we literally will just leave you open. And you can't.
Yeah.
I don't think in today's NBA you can have players like that on the floor.
I listened to D Rose talk, man, on the pod. He said the same thing. NBA is a specialist game. Like, if you don't be able to shoot the ball, at least you're gonna get exposed. And good coaching will put that at the forefront to help their teams win. Mm-hmm. If you're liability, you gotta sit. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, ultimately, that's what's going to happen more so going forward. So, these guys got better shoot the basketball or bring something to the table. If not, it's going to be rough on them, man, for real. So, I watched those two games with him, and I was like, whoa.
So, we were let's stay on this conversation about this non-starter group. What did you think about Isaac Jones? Or what have you thought about Isaac Jones?
Is Jones, my man, he's not the guy with the fro. I get him mixed up.
Yeah, he's the one with the – he always had the highlighter shoot. Well, the other night he had the highlighter
shoot. One of them was just come out there shooting a ton of shots. Jones,
Kobe might have been shooting. Okay. Oh, Mason was shooting.
Yeah, that's what it was. Too. But Isaac, it's still – I don't know, man. It's still tough. It's like they're still kind of fresh to it. They look like they're kind of – I don't want to do too much, but I want to do enough to make the roster, but they're not kind of like, no, this is me. Again, the identity. What do you bring to the table? Mm. I'm not really sure, man. The bench outside of those couple guys, I'm not sure what we got. It's kind of, I'm like, question mark, okay.
Well,
this is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC's senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.